This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The government shutdown contributing to thousands of flight delays on Tuesday as air traffic controllers work without pay, some of them calling out sick. Other federal workers are simply not working at all and not drawing a paycheck.
Air traffic controllers are exempt from being furloughed during a shutdown, but some 750,000 federal workers are currently out of work. Now, President Trump suggesting not all federal workers on furlough are entitled to receive back pay once the government reopens, even though that is the law.
ABC's Victor Okendo. Six former surgeons general have penned a letter telling the public they have no faith in Health Secretary Robert Kennedy's vaccine policies. Attorney General Pam Bondi repeatedly deflecting questions during a Senate hearing that came on the heels of the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey amid questions about the politicization of the Justice Department. Nobel Prize in Chemistry was handed out today. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa south of La Crosse will close permanently on October 20th. The Blackhawk Bridge, also known as the Lansing Bridge, is in the process of being replaced. The bridge, which was built 94 years ago, has been closed twice in the past 2 years for structural issues. Construction on its replacement began 2 years ago and is scheduled to open in 2027. In the meantime, the DOT will be providing free car ferries to cross the Mississippi River, while heavier truck traffic will need to use the posted detour through Prairie du Chien a half hour south. If your local country roads are in rough shape, you can call to get them fixed. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
It's harvest season in Wisconsin, and that means more agricultural traffic on the roads. Along with drivers needing to be aware of these slow-moving vehicles, you can help in other ways. If you notice roads that are in need of repair because of agricultural traffic, you can reach out to your local government officials to remind them that now is the time to apply for funding through the State Agriculture Roads Improvement Program, or ARIP. The application period opened on Monday, October 6th. And the deadline for submissions is 5 p.m. on December 15th. There's $150 million in grant funds included in this ARIP program in the 2025-27 state budget.
Gas prices are staying low in western Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
Gas prices continue their downward trajectory, falling 5.5 cents per gallon in Wisconsin in the last week. The state's average is now $2.77 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy. Nationally, the average price for a gallon of gas is $3.08. Patrick DeHaan, who heads petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said OPEC agreed to boost oil production over the weekend, but a refinery fire outside of Los Angeles will cause prices to increase in the western states.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. And man, I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a Triple-A pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA, ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Emily Cherniak, founder and executive director of New Politics, an organization designed to help build the Democratic pipeline of candidates who are truly ready to lead.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Yeehaw.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, the guy who's a little worried about how much traffic he's going to have to go through on his way home.
I hate Dallas.
Founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
I will never make jokes about Illinois drivers again. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, October 8th, 2025. It surely is another beautiful morning up north, but even from here, live in Texas this week, we appreciate you joining us from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or watching us on social media, listening by podcast. Just appreciate you getting your day started right here and started with the greeting and introduction from producer Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2, where, yes, as I get set to wrap up a few days in Dallas here, I will not miss the traffic one bit. Not one. Texas, I mean, the Illinois driver thing, you know, they occasionally will make a jerk move. You know, that's the main thing. They'll speed past you, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Here, every intersection, you take your life into your own hands. You never know who is going to come barreling through at any given point. I mean, the lights and signs mean nothing down here. It is just absolutely crazy.
That shouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I don't know why that surprises me for Texas.
Well, because keep in mind that yesterday or the day before, I was raving about the highway system itself.
That's true.
Again, because there's a lot of land here. You can make the highways very wide. You can have the express lanes. There's all these extra ramps and bridges and all that. But I think that's great when it's not rush hour. Yeah. I've now had to make a couple of different runs out to the airport to take, you know, our younger daughter back so she could fly back home, and then to take, you know, some our other grandkids so they could fly off, and then we're flying out tomorrow. And I'm telling you, you can't pave your way to easy traffic around that Dallas-Fort Worth airport. It's just not possible, but it is what it is. We still managed to have a good time. Our daughter that lives here took us to the Fort Worth Stockyards yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Is a must. You get to see all the Longhorn cattle being, you know, marched down the cobblestone streets, of what used to be a very bustling, you know, meatpacking area. But now lots of touristy shops and things like that. And yes, Parker, just for you, I did take photos of the chaps that were on sale.
Did you buy any?
No, I did not buy any. I have no need. No need.
No need.
Nor for any cowboy hats or arrowheads or lassos or you name. I mean, look, there's tourist traps everywhere.
Yeah.
Texas is no exception.
Well, yeah. So my brother learned how to lasso in high school.
For what practical purpose, dare I ask?
He was in a musical. He was doing Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, musical theater, then that's fine. I mean, it wasn't like he was looking for a prom date or something. I'd pick you.
No, certainly not.
Good, good. That's a nice development then. So anyway, all going well. It'll be nice to get home, that's for sure. Where things continue to be busy. It's a busy season back home with all kinds of political notes. And so I've got a question for you. Did you assume that Josh Call was basically going to waltz right into the governor's race? Because you can't be blamed if that's what you thought. It was, after all, that's the Tony Evers path to the governor's office. But Josh Call is going to run instead for a third term as state attorney general. And we're going to talk more about that in just about 10 minutes or so. And we're going to do a little compare and contrast of Wisconsin's attorney general versus the United States attorney general, Pam Bondi, and the reality trash TV worthy performance that she gave yesterday when testifying before Congress. So we'll have that discussion coming up. Also later in the show, we're going to be talking to Chuck Collins, who is from the Patriotic Millionaires Group. And he has this book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and the Planet. He is one of the grandsons of Oscar Mayer, so he knows a thing or two about family fortunes and how wealth is first collected, but then protected, and then you pursue political power, and then you actually take that power and extract more wealth out of the middle class. All the stuff that happened during the Gilded Age, which is happening again right now. And so Chuck Collins talks about how do you fight that, and it's not a matter of going after the billionaires themselves, although that they make a tempting target, but it is the system. And you have to elect people that pledge to fix the system and make it work better for everybody and not just for your biggest and best campaign donors. We're also going to be talking in our homeroom segment. This is basically our one Texas segment while I'm down here, is talking to an official who works with a group that supports public schools and the ongoing battles that they face because of support for taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. And she works especially with Texas schools, but can tell us that from Texas and other states, what lessons can we learn in Wisconsin? Because we've got a voucher system that is already approaching the $1 billion a year price tag. And what can we do before this beast becomes an absolute taxpayer catastrophe? So that's coming up at 7:35 in our homeroom segment. We're going to talk to Ellie Bardot, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. And of course, it's Wednesday, so we've got all kinds of regular friends. Earl Ingram about his podcast, Melissa Baldoff talking about climate, Jimmy Cuska talking about sports. If you can't stick around for all of it, you should get us as a podcast as well. And that way you can listen on demand. Head over to Spotify and follow the program. Follow all of the Civic Media shows. You can do it at Apple as well or wherever you get your podcast. And take us along. Another way to follow what we do on all of these shows across Civic Media is to get the Civic Media daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. That's on Substack. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com for more. From a sports standpoint, we've got the Brewers playing the Cubs a little later on this afternoon in the National League Division Series, Game 3, hopefully going for a sweep as the series moves to Wrigley Field. But let's start with the games from last night, because one of them, Parker, was especially exciting, where the Yankees were facing elimination, and they were down early in their game to the Toronto Blue Jays, 6-1. And they managed to come all the way back thanks to, I think you've heard of this guy, Aaron Judge. He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
Kid, a game-tying homer. He drove in four runs overall in a clutch performance for the ages, they're saying, as the Yankees staved off elimination, rallying from being down 6-1 to beat the Toronto Blue Jays 9-6 in Game 3. It was the Yankees' largest comeback ever in an elimination game, which is saying something given the storied history of that franchise. They will do it again tonight at Yankee Stadium. In the other American League Division Series, Game 3, the Seattle Mariners beat the Detroit Tigers 8-4 last night. So Seattle's up 2-1 on Detroit. So we've got the full load of Division Series games today, including the Brewers going for that 3-game sweep against the Cubs as the series moves to Wrigley Field for today's start.
It is a 4:08 start, which means that pregame coverage begins on stations of the Civic Media Radio Network starting at 3:30 this afternoon. Again, pregame 3:30 for Brewers versus Cubs. If the Brewers don't win this afternoon, then game four will be at Wrigley Field tomorrow. So again, that full slate of games, it's Seattle-Detroit at 2, Brewers-Cubs at 4, Blue Jays-Yankees at 6, and then Phillies-Dodgers at 8, where the Dodgers are up 2 games to love over Philadelphia as well. So we've got a very busy week for baseball here. At some point, we'll talk about the Packers again, but I'm a baseball guy.
This is the postseason baseball whenever we can. This is the best time of year for sports because you get MLB postseason, you get NFL, you get all the college football. It's a great time. And plus, like, people like Dan Schaefer are really excited about Bucks preseason.
Yes, he is. We talked about that yesterday in our 8:30 half hour, how excited Dan is for the Bucks to get going as compared to those of us who pay attention to the NBA sometime after March Madness is all done, since, you know, the NBA postseason now stretches into half of summer, it feels like. But you got to start the season sometime, and it's going to be starting here real soon. And then, of course, like you mentioned, there's college football as well. The Wisconsin Badgers head to Iowa. They will play a late game on Saturday. Pregame coverage begins at 4 o'clock on several Civic Media stations. So what else have we got? Oh, Dan, we talked about Dan. I should plug his newsletter as well. He has the Recombobulation Area. The recombobulationarea.news is where you sign up. And, of course, he contributes to the aforementioned Civic Media Today newsletter that you can get over at Substack. So have you altered your plans for today so that, you know, when you've got the Brewers Cubs playing at 4 o'clock, that you can clear the decks and pay attention to things?
Well, frankly, my biggest worry during that time period is me being asleep, because that's a pretty prime nap time for me. So
I have never heard somebody in their early 20s talk so much about nap time until Parker got this early morning gig and talks about it that way. But yeah. You know, I'm glad you protect the napdom. I like that.
You need to. It's, believe me, Pat, I need to.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm hoping to get a little downtime as well, because I am definitely getting into that travel, heartburn phase, where when you're traveling, and don't get me wrong, travel's great, but at some point you realize you're pretty much all the time eating out at some place.
Sure.
You know, yesterday when the show got done, my daughter's like, oh, there's a great bagel shop. So we got this great, you know, bagel sandwiches. And then we're at the Stockyards for lunch. Well, you got to have barbecue. So of course there's a big old plate of brisket and ribs to work on. And then later it was, you know, well, should we make a little something here? No, there's a really cool restaurant, you know, down the road. Let's go try that out. So of course, somewhere in the middle of the night, it occurs to me, I haven't had just a simple, basic home cooked meal in a while, and today better be that day for it. Because there's room for this cup of coffee around everything else, and then that's going to do it. And then a little bit of downtime for the Brewers game.
That's fair. Yeah, and it kind of sucks too, because you don't have your own bed to go to, really.
No. And again, you know, travel's great, but at some point you go, oh, these are not my pillows. This is not my mattress. And you learn to appreciate it so much more when you get back to it. And especially in a place like Texas, where, again, it was 90 yesterday, you know, outside. You'd get into your car in the parking lot and it would be 212 degrees.
Yeah, you know, burn inside, your butt inside on the car. Seat.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yes. Still a little toasty down here. But again, I will have all winter to think about this and say, I appreciate seasons, even the winter ones, more so than, you know, eternal heat. Eternal heat's kind of overrated, having lived on an island for 3 years. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for jeans and hoodies. Yeah, you know,
variety's good. I'm a big winter guy. I like it.
Yeah. So bring that on. I'll be ready to go back to the hoodies. And I think we've seen the last of the 80s, you know, or at least the upper 80s in Wisconsin. So, you know, it's fall. It's Packer time. We just got to get the Brewers a little deeper into the postseason as well. Well, coming up in a moment, as I said, we've got Attorney General Josh Call deciding not to run for governor, which kind of goofed up our question of the week in the newsletter. But we'll talk more about that and about the embarrassment of the U.S. Attorney General on Capitol Hill yesterday. Thanks for joining us here on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shore lines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So, as I mentioned, Josh Call has a lot of things to think about as state attorney general. I don't think he was thinking about messing up our question of the week, but he did. I'm sure he didn't mean to, but by announcing yesterday that he is not going to run for governor, it kind of messed up our first way too early poll for governor for Wisconsin for 2026. It was part of our Sunday morning newsletter, originally and creatively titled Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of our homepage. And yeah, this past Sunday, we said, well, here are the people who have said they're running for governor. We're also going to throw in Attorney General Josh Call because he might run. And we'll throw in former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes because he might run yet. And then everybody who has announced, what do you think? And we did get some responses from people who said that Josh Call would be their first choice for governor. They really like what he has done as attorney general, trying to keep the Trump administration accountable, you know, fighting for consumer protection and all of the things that a good state attorney general does. Well, those folks aren't going to get to vote for Josh Call at this point. Mandela Barnes has now said that he is seriously considering getting into the race for governor, but it is not official yet. But we've also been receiving a lot of replies from people who, like all of the other candidates who are running, everybody from beer vendor Ryan Sternad to, you know, members of the legislature and non-politicians alike, And so again, to be the first to see our question of the week on Sunday mornings, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. So getting back to Josh Call's announcement yesterday that he's going to run instead for a third term as Attorney General, he told Wisconsin Public Radio, quote, "This is such an important time for the role of attorneys general around the country. I think it's a pivotal time for the country, and I think some of our most basic rights are under threat." WPR notes that Call has signed on to several dozen multi-state lawsuits against the Trump administration. Those have targeted different cuts to federal funds and grants, access to personal data, the firings of federal workers, Trump's attempt to block birthright citizenship, among other policies as well. Now, speculation about Josh Call running for governor someday even predated Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term next year, because Josh Call would have been on the Tony Evers track for governor, having won multiple statewide elections already. But ultimately, Call decided to stay put, and that leaves more than a half dozen other Democrats now seeking the governor's post. And all of them, you know, good candidates in their own way for governor. And then Josh Call hoping to continue the good service that he has provided to the people of the state of Wisconsin. And that's the difference between having an attorney general who's driven by mission to the rule of law and one who is instead just engaged in theater. And that takes us to Pam Bondi, the corrupt Florida attorney general turned to corrupt U.S. attorney general, turned a congressional inquiry about abuse at the Justice Department into the usual Trump-worthy responses worthy of the trash TV that this administration truly represents. Bondi refused to answer questions and instead hurled juvenile insults, making clear she has no business being the top law enforcement official of the United States of America. Her ongoing audition to please Donald Trump is just embarrassing and now borders on the criminally contempt. Of course, there's something Pam Bondi knows a thing or two about, and that is, you know, being borderline criminally contempt. She first came on the scene 12 years ago when her Florida Attorney General's office declined to assist in the investigation of widespread fraud committed by Trump University. It was then discovered that a political group supporting Bondi had received a $25,000 political contribution from the Trump Foundation. One problem: foundations cannot make political contributions. Eventually, Trump would shut down the fraudulent Trump Foundation and the fraudulent Trump University. In return, he got a fraudulent lackey who would later serve as United States Attorney General. So yesterday's behavior was not really news. On the release of files related to sexual predator and former Trump friend Jeffrey Epstein, despite saying earlier this year that the Epstein client list was sitting on her desk for review, Bondi said yesterday she actually had yet to review the documents. On the legal justification for a president to send military troops into the streets of American cities instead of protecting our country from outside enemies, Bondi resorted to legal arguments best described as, "I know you are, but what am I?" And then there's Trump's so-called border czar, Tom Homan, who was recorded last year accepting what appears to be a bribe of $50,000 in cash. Not only has the investigation apparently been dropped, but when she was asked yesterday if taxpayers got the bribe money back from Homan, Bondi wouldn't say. Again, acting more like a mouthpiece for her boss rather than the person most responsible for ensuring that there is equal treatment under the law. Now, did any Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee take Bondi to task for choosing drama over substance and failure to answer these important questions about the politicization of the U.S. Department of Justice? Of course not. They were joining in on some other weighty matters like Hunter Biden and the 2020 election. You know, two of the issues at the heart of Donald Trump's two impeachments, where Republicans chose politics over law and democracy. I could go on and on, but the point is that in looking at Josh Call and Pam Bondi yesterday, we know what a good attorney general looks like, and we know what a stooge looks like. And expecting justice from the current U.S. Department of Justice is just something that's not in the cards. Coming up next, today's history lesson, we'll start off with a little Cool in the Gang by Cool himself. That's coming up after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Still no details out of Washington, D.C. on possible federal aid headed to farms to offset soybean losses. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. What do we think will happen? Those details on the way.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
We still expect details this week on federal aid headed to the nation's farmers to try to offset losses, specifically when it comes to soybeans. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says it'll probably look a lot like the first term under the Trump administration.
It's going to be probably directed heavier towards the soybean side of the equation in terms of just providing straight up aid based off of production. Those are, again, all the rumors that we're hearing out there. Now we'll see what they touch for both, you know, other grains as well. But the initial payments back when President Trump was in office during the first trade war was really pretty much focused on soybeans. And we think that's going to be where the impact's going to be the most. We'll see what those numbers say today.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Now, as details are released, we'll post them just as fast as we can. Follow us, MidwestFarmReport.com or Midwest Farm Report on social media. Markets are trending lower in overnight electronic trade. Those numbers are next.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit tastewhatporkcando.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checkoff.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese stood still at 177. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half at 173 and a half. Double A butter dropped 2¾ cents on Tuesday, 166¾ per pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up to $16.91. Right now, the December new crop corn's unchanged at $4.19. November new crop soybeans unchanged at $10.22. July new crop wheat, that's down 2 right now, $5.48 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session. Sign up for a daily e-newsletter. You won't miss a thing. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers and tariffs. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden will join us. I hope you can too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Yeah, it feels like a Yacht Rock kind of day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't play a little Cool in the Gang without going, who is Cool from Cool in the Gang? To which Robert Bell says, I'm cool. Robert Cool Bell turns 75 years old today.
He said, I'm just me.
It's me. I mean, I don't know if he gave himself the name Cool or somebody else did, but he's cool and he's got a gang. So Cool in the Gang.
Yeah, you know.
And all of their many hits.
The whole, I'm glad you said Yacht Rock because that reminded me of. Did you hear about the little Craig Council hates Yacht Rock
thing? No.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So the Brewers, on the day before the series started, so I think on Friday last week, the Cubs were taking BP in the stadium, and the Brewers were playing kind of slow songs like Yacht Rock.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that. Yes.
Turns out, apparently, that was because Craig Council, very vocally, which is a weird thing to do, hates Yacht Rock.
So that's why I didn't know why they were playing Yacht Rock for the Cubs BP, but it turns out he expressed a strong dislike for Yacht Rock.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thing to be vocal about.
Yeah, so for those of you going, you know, Pat, you're so hard on Craig Council all the time. I mean, he's a Milwaukee product. He's a beloved son of the city. And he did such great things for the Brewers. Now you're mad because he went to play for the Cubs. Yeah, now this.
This is the last straw.
This is my line in the sand with the Yacht Rock. So that's it, Craig Council. We're done.
Wow.
Okay, we were already done ahead of time. But I mean, All right, this is not a happy day in history. On this day in 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire. It was also the Great Peshtigo Fire. It was also the Great Michigan Fire. None of them all knew at the time that this was going on, but they had all ignited this day in 1871, exacerbated by months of drought, years of slash and burn forest practices, and then a strong weather front that blew embers for miles and miles. So a very deadly, very serious day in all of those locations, from Chicago up to Northeast Wisconsin, up to the UP, this day in 1871. Let's get a little closer to the present time. Let's take you as far as 1982, where Culture Club released their debut album, Kissing to be Clever. Kissing to be Clever included their Time Clock of the Heart and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me and I'll Tumble For You. It was basically, you know, Boy George and Company unleashing a wave of acts from the UK that populated early MTV. You had groups like Duran Duran, Tears for Fears, The Human League, Eurythmics, and more. You know, basically it's when our generation looked back at, say, the 70s with polyester leisure suits and the 60s with the mini skirts, and we thought, oh, well, we live in the normal time. And now we look back at that time, at Boy
what
George,
the hell?
All the other bands of early MTV, and we're like, no, everybody becomes dated at this point, you know?
What do you think is going to stand out from today's style that people are going to go, really?
See, that's always the big question, is you don't know at the time. Then you look back at, you know, whether it's, we look back now at pages from the Sears catalog, you know, and we look at the styles there and we just kind of wince. And I don't know what it'll be. And the thing is, it's not that the style was right or wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that it changes. And so you look back at something so different.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's clearly dated. Well, no, it's just, it's what was normal then.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. In the later in the decade of the 80s, you went from the British MTV groups, you know, that were like overdressed. You went to hair bands like Def Leppard, and they had the number one song this day in 1988. So Def Leppard's Love Bites was one of the many hair band ballads that charted, such as Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison, Whitesnake's Is This Love? There was Always by Bon Jovi, and of course, the worst of them all, Sister Christian by Night Ranger. But in each case, all of these bands learned that while it was fun to rock out, it was also very lucrative to slow things down now and then. And it's funny how many stories I've seen of bands that they started making money when they did these ballads and slow songs and love songs. And the band members were like, dude, we're here to rock out. And, you know, then their manager would show them the royalty check for the slow stuff. They'd be like, okay, we
can do that.
On Facebook.
Oh, boy.
The comment section from Roger.
Oh.
Roger writes,
oh, that's
did
okay.
You hear Boy George's pet lizard bit three people? Authorities have warned him he needs a calmer chameleon. I'm laughing because Parker has no idea why that's so funny. So I will teach him the song Karma Chameleon in the break. I promise.
Oh, boy.
But for those of us of a certain age, that was a good one there, Roger. Thank you very much. On this day in 1948, John Cummings was born in Long Island, a founding member of the Ramones. He became Johnny Ramone and passed away in 2004. On this day in 1965, C.J. Ramone, the bassist and occasional vocalist, was born Christopher Joseph Ward in Queens, New York City. On this day in 1980, Talking Heads released their fourth album, Remain in Light, including this hit.
And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife.
Yes, that was 45 years ago that Talking Heads released Remain in Light. On this day in 1956, the New York Yankees' Don Larsen pitched the only perfect game in a World Series. And, you know, just great video of catcher Yogi Berra jumping up into his arms at the end of the game. And again, there's been one postseason no-hitter since then, but no perfect game. On this day in 1982, after its London premiere, Cats opened on Broadway and ran for nearly 18 years before closing in September of 2000. Is that anywhere in your, ever saw it or a group that performed it or anything like that? Because I'm not. I've never seen Cats.
I am very aware of Cats. I have not seen Cats, though.
Okay. Let's see. More birthdays. Oh, several birthdays here today. Let's start with Bruno Mars. Happy birthday to Bruno. He is 40 years old today.
What?
That's how these things work. You know, you're an overnight sensation at a ripe old age after you've been paying your dues for years and years. But
yeah,
I mean, this song itself now is going back, almost 10 years, right? Locked Out of Heaven.
I don't know how old this song is.
Well, we'll look into that. Chevy Chase is 82 years old today. Actress Sigourney Weaver is 76 today. Actor Matt Damon is... we don't have time for Matt Damon. I'm sorry. Jimmy Kimmel would tell you he's 55 years old today. And here's another one of those that'll make you feel a little bit older. Angus T. Jones. Little Jake from Two and a Half Men is 32 years old today.
Oh, yeah.
See? Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Yeah.
All right. On this day in 1983... I'm going to tell you about the number one and number two songs on the chart. The number two song was Making Love Out of Nothing at All by Air Supply. And the number one song, Total Eclipse of the Heart, was from Bonnie Tyler.
Upon a time I was falling in love, but now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do. Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Now again, those songs, Total Eclipse of the Heart and Making Love Out of Nothing at All, those are classic Jim Steinman songs. The late Jimmy Steinman had all these songs with massive length and production value, and he did all of the, you know, the Bat Out of Hell stuff from Meatloaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. He's done all kind, you know, if you saw the list of songs, it's just classic Jim Steinman. It turns out that on this day in 1983, when those two songs were number one and two on the chart, he became the first solo writer and producer to hold the top two spots in the Billboard Hot 100. Now, out of sheer coincidence, Parker, last night, watching with my daughter, watching some TV, and she says, "Have you ever watched a show called Zillow Gone Wild?" And I said, "No. I know Zillow, the app for, you know, real estate, yeah. And I've heard of something called Zillow Gone Wild, which I'm sure shows off some wacky houses."
Sure.
And so she put it on, and wouldn't you know, right there was the house that belonged to the late Jim Steinman.
Oh, wow.
That was up for sale, and it clearly qualified for the show. It's
a little wacky.
It's unusual. Yes, a lot of you know, interesting art, designer clothing, all kinds of instruments around. I believe one of the hallways, the walls weren't painted. They were all leather, for example.
Oh.
It was just, there were so many interesting art objects that were in there.
Yeah.
All for a mansion that was listed at $4 million.
Cool.
And by the way, $4 million in this massive house with all these funky rooms, two bedrooms. The man, you know, did not want to entertain overnight guests. You can come visit. We can have a party here. And now it's time for you to go home. But that makes it a little tougher to sell, you know. I mean, because somebody's going to have to create bedrooms out of some of these other more eclectic rooms.
Yeah,
I guess,
that's interesting. Is he still in? Was he just getting out of the house?
I don't know. He's been passed away for a couple of years now.
Okay.
So I assume he was still living in it at the time.
I like the idea that they preserved it like that. And one wants to tackle that beast. They just keep it that way.
Well, the listing agent said, you know, we want it this way because we want somebody to kind of protect a lot of what he put into it. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I think somebody will pay top dollar for it and then pay top dollar for, you know, the wrecking crew to come in and make it their own, which they'll have an easier time doing that than they will the other house that they featured in this episode. The Old Shoe. Yes, it was a house built in the shape of a big old shoe, like, you know, like the
Little Miss Puckett, is that her name?
There once an old woman who lived in a shoe. Yeah. So many children, she didn't know what to do. So more like a boot.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. And so it's a big white, like, boot for a house that you could live in. Somebody builds this for themselves. This whole show is people who build these things for themselves. And then somebody at some point goes, you know, you're going to have to sell this. You have to hope somebody wants this thing. And
yeah, but I'll die first and it won't be my problem.
That's just it. See, it won't be my problem then. You just go with what you enjoy. And that's how, you know, your Zillow Gone Wild and your HGTV and all these things. I'm sure they have to pay a little bit for the rights to tell the story, which is fine because they may not be getting income from any other source anytime soon. They got to pay the property taxes and everything else while they hope somebody comes along and wants a house shaped like a shoe. So
there you go.
Good luck to those folks. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit about some of the top stories that we're following at Up North News. And in our next hour, we will be talking about ongoing threats to public schools through the burgeoning, shall we say, voucher program that is approaching a $1 billion price tag here in Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
Turn around. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger public address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Wrong day.
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now, we are one doctor-friendly show over here. You've got a host, Mary, do a doctor. You've got Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who visits on Mondays and Fridays. And we've got a new video series on the Up North News social media feeds called Raising Wisconsin with pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks. And you can catch that on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. In her most recent episode, she breaks down bug bites, the different types and treatments so that you can keep the itching away and look at what signs to watch for anything that might be troublesome. Again, the Raising Wisconsin video series from Dr. Kelly Snooks. Look for that on Up North News social media sites. Parker Olson has the national day calendar for us today so that we know what we're celebrating. And then we'll talk about some of the big stories at Up North News over the past few days. So where are we starting? Who are we honoring today?
Today we've got Emergency Nurses Day. Funny you were talking about the doctors. We got Emergency Nurses Day.
Excellent. Yes. I mean, cannot possibly thank anybody enough who works in an emergency department. So thank you for all you do. You are truly a hero to us. What else do we have?
Well, Pat, it's National Heroes Day.
Well, look at it. You're just making up stuff now. So
no.
National Heroes Day?
National Heroes Day. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, people who dress up as like Marvel characters, or
my understanding like, was like people that you think are heroes.
People so that I you would think say are like heroes,
nurses and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, So this is like the Bette Midler song day. You get to sing to somebody, "Did you ever know that you're my hero?"
Sure.
Sure. You can do that. Or maybe somebody will think that's like borderline bullying if you do that. What else you got today?
Pat, it's National Stop Bullying Day.
Shut up. What are the odds of this? This is crazy.
it's almost like we know.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. So today is Stop Bullying Day.
Yeah.
So if any other day you see bullying going on, you just let it happen, man. You just let it go. But today,
on this day in particular,
today is the day. And you go, "You will not take Timmy's lunch money today because the calendar says so."
Yeah.
And then you end up giving the bully your lunch money instead. But
so do you think tomorrow is National Bullying Day then? Where everyone has to bully? Point.
Where's national bullying
Day? Yeah, equal time, guys. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, that's like the whole premise of the Purge, right? Is you can have one day for just doing these terrible things. We're going to have a bullying day. So, all right. One more that's one of those old timey jobs that I can relate to. What do we got?
I'm curious if you ever did this. It's International Newspaper Carrier Day.
Newspaper Carrier Day, otherwise known back in the day as a paper boy.
Yeah.
That's really, you know, you had the newsboys and the paper boys and all of that. And eventually, you know, we kind of opened things up. But yes, back in the day, I was a paper boy. I was a newspaper carrier. I was living on the east side of St. Paul and delivering two newspapers because back then, there weren't just newspapers. There were sometimes two newspapers a day.
Oh, the morning.
Yeah, was the St. Paul Pioneer Press. And then after school, you'd get another stack of newspapers to deliver the evening St. Paul Dispatch. And then later they were combined into the St. Paul Dispatch and Pioneer Press, and eventually just the Pioneer Press. Let's see, that, you know, we talk all the time about the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And for the longest time, you know, the Milwaukee Sentinel, that was Wisconsin's morning newspaper. Everybody had that, you know, they had the green sheet and everything else. And then the Milwaukee Journal was its own separate thing. And then eventually that got combined. And so, yeah, we carried a lot of newspapers. And I lived in a large apartment complex. And so it was enough to have to get up at 5 a.m., to deliver, go up to the corner, get the newspapers and deliver them all around before school and after school. And then there's Sunday mornings.
Oh, and those ones are big, aren't they?
Oh my goodness. Well, and again, it's just so funny that you went from these massive newspapers, these very thick things, to like newspapers are now like gone. And on Sundays, I mean, that was it, you know, you counted on that for all the what was on sale and what was happening where and when, and it's just not the case anymore. But we would get these things that we just had to lug, you know, down. You know, you had to get a wagon and load them up, and you had to put them together because there'd be the news sections that were in black and white, and then all the ad sections that were in color, but they printed them separately. So you had to put the one inside the other.
Oh, I didn't know that. Deliver
the, oh, yeah. And then best of all, for all these kids, these literal kids doing all this, they were also the bill collectors. And so whatever it was, once a month, I think it was once a quarter maybe, you had to go around all these places instead of just leaving the newspaper. You had to knock on the door and, you know, say, "Hey, I'm collecting. It's $5.50 this week for the month." And you'd be like, "Well, you missed three times this week. And so I'm going to deduct that when..." You didn't miss it. You didn't miss anything. Yeah. Maybe there was the original porch pirate came and took your newspaper, but they penalized you, or they said, "Oh, come back next week. I'll pay you then." And, you know, they never did. And you're a 12-year-old bill collector trying to make the case that they should pay you the $5.50, you know?
Hey, $5.50. That was a lot of money back in the day.
Hey, it was a big deal for me to make enough money that I could buy my mom a Mother's Day present. Ooh. And of course, you know, being a 12-year-old boy, I got her a toaster. Because our toaster had broken.
And I wanted to have a good toaster.
So, happy Mother's Day, Mom. Here's a toaster for you. So
that I'll use.
You don't have anything equivalent of that today in terms of, you know, child labor, shall we put it.
No. No, that's, you know, honestly, that makes me a little sad.
It does for me too, because again, maybe we didn't need the 12-year-olds to be bill collectors, but we also there's always room to do something rather than just sit and look at screens all day.
Yeah. You know?
So maybe we should put this up to the listeners. What are the good, relevant kid labor jobs of today? And I don't mean child labor, like exploitive, you know, but what is something good that maybe more kids should be doing as like a first job or something like that?
Yeah. The closest thing I can think is like fundraising for your sports team right now.
Yes, there's definitely some of that where they come to your door with the calendars and things like that. I totally get that. So what else is out there, and what else would make for a good first job for kids these days? So much more in the next hour here. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in a bit.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former FBI Director James Comey heads to federal court today under the direction from President Trump's newly installed federal prosecutor in Virginia.
Ahead of Comey's arraignment, the Department of Justice has added two assistant U.S. attorneys from out of state to work on the case. An FBI agent was reportedly relieved of duty after refusing to help stage a public arrest of Comey, though FBI Director Kash Patel called those reports false.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington. Day 8 of the government shutdown. It's having an effect on the nation's airports. Air traffic controllers are working without pay. Thousands of flights delays yesterday. National Guard troops now positioned outside Chicago, and they could be in Memphis on Friday as the Trump administration pushes ahead with policies against American cities run by Democrats. Israel and Hamas entering the third day of peace talks in Egypt, with more senior officials from the United States now taking part. All sides have been expressing optimism for a deal to end the war. This is ABC News.
Farm